Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
8:14, 8:15 now on this Tuesday morning before Thanksgiving. District Attorney Jason Williams joins us now. Hey, Jason, how are you?
I'm good. Good morning, Tommy. How are you?
I'm okay, sir. Thank you for taking the time with us. Let's get right to business. Talk about this French Quarter shooting and ankle monitors and so forth. Give me, as they say, the facts of the case, if you will, please.
So you've got three perpetrators that we know of at this point. They've been identified by the NOPD due to some very diligent work and the use of some force multipliers in the sense of Project NOLA. Brian Lagarde, the network of crime cameras, was able to quickly identify people and cars that were involved in this thing. One has been detained. Two are at large. They should be considered armed and dangerous. We are using every open source piece of intelligence that we can find to identify anyone who assists these two men in any way, a ride, a car, a piece of bread. So we're looking at social media, we're looking at cameras, we're looking at license plate readers. So I just want to warn any family and friends who think they're just helping someone out of a tough situation, and they're committing a crime that they assist these two in any way.
And to be clear, we're talking about Daniel Miorana and Daryl Adams, right?
That's correct. His brother Nicholas Miorana is in custody now.
And you said considered armed and dangerous. You know, I saw you say, Jason, when this all happened, you don't want thoughts and prayers. You want tips and leads, right? How has that been working out?
It's working out really well. You know, New Orleans is a very small place. Everyone knows everyone. People know the flavor snowball you had in the middle of the day by the evening. By the time you get home, the information is going to come in. It's going to be found out. I just would hate for someone who is ignorant of the law to ruin their life because these three men have ruined theirs. And that's exactly what's going to happen. We've identified some creative charging structures. We're looking at a terrorism statute for anybody that engages in a mass shooting, because I believe that is, in fact, terrorism, which bumps up the accessory after the fact, aiding and abetting, but bumps up the time they would serve significantly from 5 years to double-digit years if anyone assists these two in any way.
Is the U.S. Marshal's office operating on this or not, Jason, or do you want to say?
This is an all-hands-on-deck piece. Big thanks goes out to the FBI, the U.S. Marshal's Services, and Louisiana State Police. This everyone has been helping out Chief Ann on this. Lieutenant Andrew Waldron is one of the best police officers on the NOPD, son of veteran retired Judge Dennis Waldron. He knows his way around the law. He knows how to do it fair. He knows how to do it right, and we're going to find these men.
Let's talk about the ankle monitoring piece of this, if you will, please, and what happened.
Sure. So we, using the evidence that we had available, prosecuted Nicholas Miorana earlier this year. We were only able to get a conviction that led to probation. To my dismay, I wanted him to be in custody. That wasn't available. I know that some critics have said, well, why would he get probation for felon with a firearm? Well, the answer to that, Tommy, is you've got constructive possession and you've got actual possession. The officers who investigated that case, the charge was that he illegally discharged a firearm and he was a felon, so he was also charged with felon possession of a firearm. The issue is the officer who investigated that case did not pick up the casings or secure the video footage of the shooting.
Wait, Jason.
And there was no gun.
Slow down a little bit, because I want you to explain that again, because I know you've taken some heat. And I'll say, Rafael Goneche was saying the case shouldn't have been pled down, and I don't want to, you know, pit one against the other, but I just want the facts to get out there. And look, let me just get on my soapbox for a minute here. You can go back all the way in terms of this French Quarter shooting and say, well, you can go back to the way this, these people were raised and where did they break bag and decided, right, that led to this eventually. Or you can say, and we'll get to that after the break, about the ankle monitor and the judge should have put out the order to have them picked up. But I think it might be a little bit disingenuous, with all due respect, to go back and say, well, the case shouldn't have been pled down, when the facts of the case are, and go ahead and repeat that part about the investigation and the casings, because I think that's a very important part of this.
So the person was charged with inward discharge of a weapon, and then when they found out that he was a felon, he was later charged with felon possession of a firearm. However, no firearm was ever seized from this individual. The casings could not be matched to any weapon and were not properly stored. And the video footage, which we would have absolutely used to get the mandatory minimum sentence on felon with a firearm, just wasn't seized from the hotel to show that that was him in that parking lot. And that's not a case we can prove in court. So we were left with the evidence that we had, and we got the most serious convictions we could get. I understand, people look at it on paper and you think, oh, well, there's a mandatory minimum there. But we have to have the evidence to present to a jury in order to achieve that goal. And we did. Now, he violated the probation that the judge put him on in very short order after getting it, and there was a revocation here. And over my objection, the judge decided to release him back into the community after we had gotten him back in custody for the violation of the probation, and he was released on an ankle monitor.
So the probation really, I hate to say red herring, but it all goes back, again, to the judge, Jason, as I understand this, because he violated probation even before this ankle monitoring thing, and the judge released him again. Accurate?
That's it. Those are the facts of this particular case.
All right, let me take a break. I want to pick it up on ankle monitoring when we come back, all right?
Sure.
Jason Williams, New Orleans District Attorney, 821. Quick look at traffic now, WWL. 825, quickly back to Jason Williams, New Orleans District Attorney. So Nicholas Marana, 28, he's in jail. One count of second-degree murder, three counts of attempted murder for the spray of bullets in the French Quarter on Thursday afternoon. And he was out after a plea bargain was made for a felon in conviction of in possession of a firearm. I'm trying to race through this, Jason. Correct me if I'm saying anything wrong. The case was less than strong, so you got what you could. But even with that, he violated parole after the plea bargain, and the judge, Leon Roche, let him out again, correct? And put him on an ankle monitor?
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. I mean,
so
after that violation, after that violation, he was put back in custody where he stayed for several months of this year. And then over our objection, the judge denied the revocation and then put him on the ankle monitor 24 hours house arrest, where he continued to violate the terms of the conditions of that release. And he was violating the terms and conditions of that release when he drove that car into the French Quarter with those other two men in it.
So was this a Matt Dennis ankle monitor, or was the judge made aware, do you know, Jason, of the fact that this Marana was violating? Go ahead.
This was an ASAP ankle bracelet that Matt Dennis's company owns.
So I know the judge knew it, right?
Yeah, I mean, Mr. Dennis has said that over 40 different violations were reported to the court, and I believe that when there's a single violation reported to the court, when the court gets that, they're basically being told, this person is not doing or living up to the things that you have required, and I believe that should be an immediate revocation regardless of the charge, regardless of the violation. Because this is a second chance. This person was already on probation. The case was less than perfect, and that's fine. Every case isn't perfect. We have to deal with what we have to. But when a person gets on probation, that's a different status. And if they don't do anything right,
and we get him back in custody, they should remain in custody under violation of that.
So he was released over your objection. Then after that, if we're looking for where the system failed, Matt Dennis's ankle monitor worked. How many violations did you say?
At least 40. Mr. Dennis, I think, has indicated there were more days of violations than there were actual compliance
and
days.
And I know Matt Dennis, and I know damn well that he notified the judge. I'd be willing to bet my house on it. I don't have any evidence in front of me, but knowing the reputation of ASAP that and the way Matt Dennis does his business, that the judge was made aware of this 40 times before the French Quarter shooting. That's what we're saying, right?
I've seen the documentation. Matt Dennis did everything that was required of him and actually went above and beyond what the law actually requires to make notification to the court.
So it would be hard, Jason, for me to look at anybody in this chain of events to point the finger at other than the judge. Am I wrong in presuming that?
You know, obviously the men who made the choice to fire weapons aren't the ones at fault. But we have to, when we have an opportunity, if someone has proven that they're not deserving of a second chance or probation, it's time to lock them up. That's not harsh. That's not mean. That's not cruel. That's just the law. And I think it's fairly simple. It's just accountability.
So I want to be clear. To be clear, the guy, after you plea bargained the case, he violated his probation. He was back in custody. You wanted him to stay there. Judge Leon Roche, correct me if I'm saying anything wrong, let him out. After he let him out on an ankle monitor, he violated the ankle monitor 40 times. Matt Dennis notified Judge Roche of this, but yet he was still out on the street and committed allegedly this French Quarter shooting. And I say allegedly because he hasn't been convicted yet. And you've seen
correct.
The documentation that Judge Roche was notified, and it was up to Judge Roche, correct me if I'm wrong, at any point during these 40 violations and notifications to say, that's it, go pick him up.
That's exactly what the court record says.
Okay. So what happens from here?
You know, and he was wearing the ankle monitor when he committed this crime, which tells you what he thought of the ankle monitor. You know, I mean, let's just factor out what we're doing to the culture here. If someone is going to commit a crime and they're going to wear the ankle monitor, they are certain that there's not a ramification of where they go in terms of violating the geographical boundaries.
So you have evidence, I would think, from Matt Dennis putting him at the crime scene.
That was part of the technological force multiplier that was able to identify this suspect.
All right, real quick before we let you go, Jason, I'm glad you cleared all this up. If somebody does have any information about any of these people, what do they do?
They call Crime Stoppers, they call the NOPD, and if they do anything to assist, aid, or abet, they will be prosecuted as well, and that they will be tied to the terrorism statute as well.
And to be clear, you're saying armed and dangerous, right?
Absolutely.
Thank you, Jason. I appreciate your time. Hoping your mom and everybody, the whole family, have a nice Thanksgiving, all right?
Happy Thanksgiving to you, Tom, and the whole WWL family.
Thank you, sir. Jason Williams, DA. We'll talk with a medical director and owner of Kronos Wellness, Dr. Mae Scott, about the Biden administration and weight loss, drugs, and more when we come back. 8:30, time for WWL First News. 8:45, quarter till 9, Tommy Tucker, WWL, joined now by Dr. Scott, Mae Scott, beg your pardon. I got it backward there, but that's easy to do, isn't it, Doc?
Yes, it is. Good morning, Tommy. How are you doing today?
I'm well, sir. Dr. Mae Scott, medical director and owner of Kronos Body Health and Wellness. Talk about these weight loss drugs, and I'd like to keep, you know, I'd hate to even use the word Biden here because everything gets so politically, you know what I'm saying? You get on one side of the spectrum or the other, but the Biden administration proposed requiring Medicare and Medicaid to cover anti-obesity drugs like the semaglutide or whatever the different names of them are. And I just want to set the table for you, Doc. I lost, for people that don't know, about 100 pounds, kept it off for about 2 years now by using, Zeripatide, I think is the name of it. Which one is that?
Tirzepatide.
And I'm a big proponent of these things, but that's just from my own anecdotal experience because I know in terms of diabetes and everything else, not that I had diabetes, but I was certainly pre-diabetic being that overweight, what a difference it's made in my life in terms of being able to exercise and everything else. And I'll get off my soapbox in a second. It would seem like this would be the most cost-effective thing that we could do when it comes to healthcare. With that, I'll step off and leave the stage to you, Doc.
Well, Tommy, you're right. These are just, they're amazing drugs. We have seen people losing 60, 80, 100 pounds fairly easily on this medication over a period of time. You know, I have to tell you, though, one thing I was on your show several months ago, and I said something that was not correct. I wanted to clear up. Now, you were asking me about how these medications seem to work on the brain and how you felt so much better, mm-hmm. and not just physically, but mentally. And my initial reaction back then was, oh, it's just because of what you're eating. But, you know, they have found these medicines cross the blood-brain barrier. They react directly to your brain, and they're sent, these receptors are all over your body. And they're finding they're doing amazing things, Tommy, that they're neuroprotective. They found that they can slow down the process of dementia. They're cardioprotective. They increase contractility of the heart and improve your cardiac function. They can help people who have renal insufficiency. They decrease inflammation. So this is just a revolutionary drug that they have right now, and they need to find a way to get it to people and you know, get it to the masses, because it seems to be so safe. There's so few contraindications. And yes, sir, you are right. It does help people with diabetes, of course, and with obesity, and it just helps to decrease potential chronic illnesses. There are just so many amazing things that we're seeing with this medicine.
My age is a closely kept secret, doctor, but I'm somewhere between, let's just say, middle-aged and a codger, okay? Somewhere in between there. But I do like the mental acuity that it gives me, and I, you know, I don't think I have dementia or anything like that, but it does help with a little memory issue that I might have here or there, some of that due to some headache mm-hmm. medicine that I take. In terms of cost effectiveness to the healthcare system in the nation, man, it just seems like this is a no-brainer. What am I missing?
Well, I think part of what you're missing is that the majority of patients are on a form of insurance. Insurance does not want to pay for it because they think about the bottom line this year. You know, if they said, okay, we're going to approve this drug for everyone, they'll be bankrupt in no time. So, of course, it would benefit everyone in the future, decreasing chronic illnesses, decreasing obesity, high blood pressure, diabetes. But that's a long-term goal, and that's long-term projection. That's not going to help the bottom line this year. So you're seeing insurance companies pushing back on paying. Some of them have. There were some insurance companies that we found that were starting out paying for these medications, but after they realized the expense, they pulled back on it and stopped. So it's all about making money.
Well, I'm going to say this. I'm going to leave you out of it because we'll go to a break, and then we'll pick it up when we come back. But if you look at the actuarial tables, Tim, you can bring the doctor down because I don't want to get him involved in my mess here. But if you look at the actuarial tables, the insurance companies, they're in money to make business. Rather than pay for these drugs to keep you healthy and in the long term have to pay less on the other side of it in terms of health care, the middle portion of that is people die and they don't have to pay anything. And that's what they're opting for. It's ugly, but it's the truth. If you have any questions or comments about weight loss drugs, 504-260-1870. I work out a lot as well, but I don't think I'd be working out if it weren't for losing weight in the first place. 850, 10 till 9, traffic now, WWL. 856, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Quickly back to our friend, Dr. Mace Scott, medical director, owner of Kronos Body Health and Wellness Services, and you can find out more if you go to kronosbhw.com. And, doctor, one thing I wanted to say, and, you know, I mentioned that I work out a lot, and I don't think that I would be doing it had I not lost the weight. But one of the things that you guys do is that you don't just look at it from, you know, here, take your injection and that's it. It is a whole wellness, I guess, discipline, right?
Approach, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we try to do. We do offer a free nutritionist consultation with every weight loss patient, those that will take it. Unfortunately, most do not accept it. But we also have a fitness center and trainers, and we'd like to try and use all of these together to help the person get better, improve their weight, and change habits. And that's really important. But I have seen exactly what you're saying, that when people do lose weight and they get back in shape, they find that motivation again that they lost. It's so hard to get over that hump, you know, to get back started again with healthy eating and healthy habits.
It has changed completely the way I eat. I was at the store yesterday, true story. And a guy came up to me and said, "You're pretty ripped for an old dude." And I didn't know if that was a nice thing or not. I didn't know how to react. I don't know what you say to that exactly. Let's talk about somebody texted in. I think it's a fair question about long-term what's the word I'm thinking of? Negative effects of these
potential side effects.
Yeah, side effects and all that stuff. Yeah.
Well, you know, there are a handful of people that don't do well on this medicine. Very, very few, but some people do have issues with nausea and vomiting, cramping, things like that. You can get pancreatitis because this medicine does react with the pancreas, and it can cause inflammation of your pancreas. That is not the same thing as pancreatic cancer. It's just inflammation of the pancreas that will generally resolve. It just means you cannot take the medicine ever again. But for as far as long-term, there are no significant long-term problems other than that. Well, there is a case or two of what's called gastroparesis, where the stomach slows down and stops moving. But, Tommy, actually, these medicines, they bind to the GLP-1 receptor. There have been similar medicines out for decades, Trulicity, liraglutide. So when semaglutide came along under the name Ozempic, it was approved by the FDA for type 2 diabetes in 2017. It has been used continuously in people since then. And, of course, its predecessors have been used for years, decades, and has been shown to be safe. So I don't really think we're going to come across some long-term issue over the next couple of decades. I think we've already seen the problems.
Doctor, if you can, in the minute that's left, tell me how it, for people that don't understand these drugs, and we've talked about it a lot, but what it does in your brain so that it does change the way you're wired when it comes to controlling how you eat and what you eat?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, it binds to receptors all over the body. It's primarily going to affect your brain, your pancreas, and your gut. And in your brain, it kind of slows down the cravings and the food noise that you get. You know, that craving for the snack, whatever your favorite snack is, Coca-Cola, whatever. It seems to calm that down so people don't think about it. You don't really think about food like you did before. In your pancreas, go ahead.
I just say we're out of time, but I heard the phrase, somebody used it, Lucy Bustamante, as a matter of fact, a long time ago, used the phrase grazing when we were talking about this, and that's what you do. You get up and you go graze in the kitchen, even though you're not hungry, and I don't find the need to graze anymore. Doctor, thank you. I appreciate your time. Hope y'all have a great Thanksgiving. Y'all, you can go to Chronos, ChronosBHW.com, and find out a lot more about all of this and the holistic approach that they take over there. And I'm just, you know, the medicine's not magic, but it is a big help and a big step toward getting yourself healthy. We'll take a break, come back, talk about the Turkey Day race and more.